It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. It is the WEEI Afternoon Show. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us here today. And a happy football new year to you, Andy.
I'm excited.
I'm excited myself.
Legitimately not like, oh, he's on the radio, so he has to pretend he cares.
I'm legit. There's a great football game tonight, a great football game tomorrow night.
There's a buzz in the air.
There has to be. Even though the team here may stink, it's football season.
Enjoy this. Bottle up this moment and really, really drink it in, Patriots fans, because once the actual season starts for us, for New England, for the Pats, this is going to be a feeling very fleeting. I think we're not going to be experiencing this kind of buzz, this kind of pre-football joy that you get in the hours leading into the kickoff of week one. And I think that that's something you're just going to have to deal with. And that's why we opened up with that Schefter quote from yesterday, because I think that's a good encapsulation of not just why free agents or potential trade targets may or may not want to come here. It's a good encapsulation of what this team is, what they're building towards, and sort of what your expectations should really be about this season and the way that the Patriots are viewed, not just by fans, but by the national media, by the players in the league, by sort of everybody. I think that, you know, we do have that air of excitement as a new season begins, but you need to really, and Patriots fans, listen, I mean, we were very spoiled for a long, long time. And I think that does play into the way that expectations are set. And patience maybe runs thin, things like that. All of that's fine, but it is time to get real because football starts tonight.
Absolutely, and you're going to see two MVP quarterbacks on the biggest stage to start the season, reminding you that, well, you don't have an MVP caliber quarterback, and you hope that Drake May is that someday, right? Like, that's
absolutely,
it's simple as that, especially the two teams tonight playing, because the two teams tonight have not always been the most talented in football in recent years, but they win. Why? Because they have MVP signal callers.
Right.
And
the Ravens haven't won anything, but I know
you. But, I mean, right, you're in the conversation annually because of the guy who's taking the football every freaking snap.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think that's the most legitimate, hopeful path that Patriots fans can look down. Because I don't know if you're going to be an Eagles or a 49ers where suddenly in a year or two you think, whoa, we have the best roster in football. I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if Elliott Wolf is going to nail every freaking free agent decision and every draft pick. But I am pretty sure if Drake May lives up to his hype and his hope, you'll enter this conversation of these teams with quarterbacks, right? It's that simple. And then the rest you hope he fills in with, and the Andy Hart plan, Will Campbell and T. Higgins, right?
Yeah. That's the idea, and that's the way it's going to probably end up looking this year. If you look around all of the previews, NFL previews everywhere, ESPN, CBS, NFL.com, I only really saw one that gave me any sort of hope whatsoever for the season, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But most of them are all the same thing. No one has the Patriots anywhere but fourth in the AFC East. No one has them making the playoffs. No one has really anything coming for this team in terms of regular season, but you're watching this season not with your eye on the playoffs. You're watching this season with your eye on the young players on this team. You're watching it with your eye on Drake May. You're watching it on the offensive line to see sort of what needs to be, who works where, if anybody works anywhere. And you're watching the defense, too. The defense would be the high point of this team. I think that, you know, if you're a big defensive football mind, if that's the type of football that you like low-scoring games, you know, you like that Super Bowl where they won 13-3, like, if that's your bag.
No, I don't.
Well, I don't either, but I'm saying if that's what you
it's
like.
It's never good when they're talking about the punter being the MVP in the freaking third quarter.
Or Gaskowski. I mean, he had a nice game,
what are we doing?
Too. But yeah, that's that may be what you have to hang your hat on this year with this team, because offensively, it just doesn't seem like it's going to be much. You mentioned this matchup tonight. I agree. I think you got number one and two, the two best quarterbacks in the league, playing in this game tonight. We will have our top 10 quarterback list later on in the show.
I just
gave you the little preview of who my top two are. We all know who the number one is for everybody, so I don't think it's too much of a spoiler there. But in general, as we look along the slate of games here. We look at the teams and their off seasons that they had, rookies that are coming on, rookie quarterbacks, rookie wide receivers in different places, and sort of the overall entirety of this off season. Do you think that the NFL right now is in a good place? Is the NFL in a good place? Do you consider this a good era in NFL football?
I think it's a great era. In part, when I was preparing for that list of top 10 quarterbacks, I realized there really are a bunch of good quarterbacks. Mm. Like, there's some great ones, and then there's a big pack before you fall off to not good ones. And it's become a quarterback-driven game, entertainment-wise. Forget even winning and losing, just entertainment-wise. The games are better when there are competitive quarterbacks, good quarterbacks on the field. Hell, we saw it when we were ripping the DJ whoever guy from Florida State, whatever the hell his last name is.
Oh, yeah, right.
Like, a bad quarterback can ruin a game and ruin a team, right?
Yes.
Ruin entertainment value. But I also think it's great to have, I'm a big believer in measuring sticks or kings of the mountain kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And the Chiefs are that. The Patriots were that for a long time, where you knew who you were rooting for or against to start a year. One fan base was rooting to continue to stay atop, right? Yep. Like the Mike Tyson. Because Mike Tyson, the greatest era in boxing in my lifetime was Mike Tyson. He dominated. You felt stupid because he's beaten people in seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But you watched every time because you wanted to know. Like, was somebody ever going to knock him off? And then he gets knocked off overnight when nobody got to see because it was in freaking Japan,
right,
or Buster Douglas. But I am a big believer that having a known commodity atop a league to pursue is great for the sport. So you combine a known commodity going to make history, looking to win a third straight Super Bowl. In New England, that hits home a little more because their dynasty is chugging along. And
sneaking up on yours, for sure.
Quarterback dynasty, coach dynasty,
absolutely,
everything that came from it, Andy Reid's Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes' Chiefs are getting closer, are pursuing you. And then the quarterback thing, and then just the young talent and the way the game is being played, right? Like, even the unknown.
Yeah.
You know, C.J. Stroud, boom. Texans are good. Texans are fun. Mm-hmm. Or there will be multiple receivers this year that become household names by late in the year, right?
Yep.
Young players, injection of talent. So, yeah, I think the league is in an absolute phenomenal place right now.
I think it's in a very good place, too, and I agree with most of what you said about there being a top team. The only thing I would take small issue with is that who's the Chiefs' principal rival? Like, who's Patrick Mahomes? Who's the equivalent of his Peyton Manning?
You don't really have it.
Right.
But there's a group of them that you can pull from
that
in any given season.
Be, right? There's Roethlisberger
the Bills,
here,
the Bengals,
yeah, right,
the Ravens. Like, tonight could start a rivalry renewal type season, right? If they meet in the first regular season game, mm-hmm, and then the last playoff game, which is a possibility, right? Like, these are AFC title game contenders.
Definitely.
You're going to watch tonight. But you also have Joe Burrow. You know, Burrowhead Stadium and him going, that whole thing.
Yeah.
And you have Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's actually three contenders in Lamar Jackson's Ravens, Josh Allen's Bills, and Joe Burrow's Bengals that I think are in contention. And that actually makes it better because in the one-off world, if Burrow's wrist is toast.
Right.
Oh, crap. He's hurt in week two. Like, now what's going... Well, now I just turn my attention to Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. And there's others, don't get me wrong. C.J. Stroud, maybe he enters the conversation. I think, actually, I bet against them. I took the under on them.
Really?
Just a quick aside. I think they are
9.5, right?
Yeah. I think they're due. And they can even have a fine season, 9-8, and I win. But
right. I don't know if people would consider if they take a step backwards. I'm not sure that would be right. They're considered a team on the rise.
They are. And I think that's the hardest thing to do, is go from shocking people to proving you belong in that conversation. That's a jump. Also kind of snuck up on me that C.J. Stroud had 23 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
That's not a lot.
Not a ton.
17 games, 23 touchdowns? Ooh, he threw one touchdown a game, and he's supposed to be the second coming of Jesus Brady himself? Like, I mean, so that, I just took the under on them. But anyway, I think there are a lot of potential rivalry teams that actually make it safer for the league in the long run.
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, listen, Manning didn't beat Brady until year 6, right, of Brady's career, or year 5, I guess, if you want to start it in 2001 there. They didn't beat him until 06 in the playoffs. So, you know, it took a while for that to really – they played a lot, and Brady beat him each time. And then, you know, finally, that's sort of what made it – that's what gave the rivalry more teeth. You know, like it wasn't like really a rat. Like, yeah, they played each other, and clearly everybody thought Manning was supposed to be this golden boy, and here comes Brady beating them every year. But it wasn't really a rivalry until Manning beat him, too. Someone's got to beat Mahomes.
And you also don't have the I don't even know the class difference or the old styles make fights theory.
Right.
You had a dome team versus the Northeast Patriots, the snow team, the outdoor team, the tough team versus the soft indoor team. All these teams now are basically outdoor teams.
Yeah.
Right. It can be crappy in Baltimore, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Kansas City. It can be snow, see your breath kind of weather. It was more dramatic back then that you had. Plus, the other difference is, like, Patrick Mahomes does everything. Back then it was, well, Brady's the game manager who just wins. And, well, Patrick Mahomes just wins and is just the best player and puts up the numbers and kind of does whatever the hell you want him to do.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, Burrow did beat him a couple years ago. He beat him to go on and get smoked by the Rams in the Super Bowl there. But he's got to win a championship. Like, you have to get on the level. You know, you can't just beat him once in the playoffs. You have to get on the level. You have to get your name on the trophy. And if you don't do that, then you're not necessarily rivaling what they're doing. Maybe you beat him once, but that's not that's not really what we're talking about here.
And I didn't even mention Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
a guy who actually does have a ring, actually does. You know, have the Hall of Fame talent resume, you know, similar to Mahomes. The remember when he was the boat, the best of all time, but Brady was the GOAT, greatest of all time, that whole crap.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers has a phenomenal football team. Bill Belichick was freaking gushing about it the other day on one of his freaking social media.
Who has a better season, Rodgers with the Jets this year or Russell Wilson with the Steelers this year?
Rodgers with the Jets.
You think? Are you, you sure about that? Because I mean, listen.
Sure?
I think,
no, I'm not sure. But I picked him to win the MVP. I think yesterday on this very program. So
wait, you picked Rodgers?
Didn't I?
I don't remember.
Pretty sure I picked Rodgers to win the MVP.
Is that
I think
right,
the Jets
Jack? Can we get a fact check on that one? Is that what he picked?
No, you had Rodgers for comeback player of the
comeback
year.
Comeback player.
Yeah, you had Mahomes. For
that's
MVP.
What it was. Mahomes.
Oh yeah.
MVP.
But yeah, if he's going to win comeback player of the year,
big limb there for the MVP award.
I think Rodgers is going to have a good year. I think the Jets are going to be good. Yes, I. There's too much talent. Talent wins. Talent really does win more often than not.
Yeah, it certainly does.
And they have
does.
The talent. I don't care if Salah's a bit of a, I don't even know what he is. Is he a boob? Is he a hardo? Is he a detriment? He's a defensive
coach. I'm not sure
coach.
What he is either. Yeah, yeah, I mean, he seems like kind of. He seems like kind of a hardo.
I kind of like that. All gas, no break.
Yeah. If you know, he's had to deal with Zach Wilson for a couple years now, so I mean that's not something you wish on anybody. One other thing you said I really agree with is the influx of talent recently. I feel like the last 3 or 4 years there's been a ton of great wide receivers. There's been some really good defensive players drafted.
Oh, yeah.
It just seems like right now young skill players are really like it's like a golden age for that in the NFL now.
And it's great for the game when Aiden Hutchinson is supposed to be good, and Aiden Hutchinson is good.
Yes.
And Will Anderson's supposed to be good, and Will Anderson is good. There's a reason some of these teams, we fixate on the quarterbacks and the offense, but some of the defensive guys for some of these young teams have been just as influential, and that's a pro-Patriot right there. Right? If you get Drake May to hit and Christian Gonzalez to hit, you've probably taken a nice step forward into the conversation you want to get back into.
If the Chiefs three-peat.
When?
When the Chiefs three-peat.
Oh, shoot. Save it to 5:30, Andy.
Shoot. Did we both?
Son of a... Man. No, you can't have it. I picked it first.
All right, fine. I'll have to go back to the drawing board then. Anyway, if and when they three-peat, what is that going to make them?
Historically great.
Historically. I mean, like, in the...
Andy Reid, the greatest coach of all time.
Is that... Are you saying that rhetorically, or you believe that?
No, I'm not Schefter. I kind of believe it. I know
you'd put him ahead of Bill.
I'd actually still have Paul Brown. I don't have Bill first.
Okay,
but I would move Andy Reid ahead of Bill Belichick because I taught you yesterday when you said Andy Reid's never won the Coach of the Year. Yeah, he won it with the Eagles in 2002.
Right,
he won it with a different team 23 years ago, 22 years ago. He took that team to 3 state straight title games, a Super Bowl. They should have won if his quarterback didn't vomit on himself. Mm-hmm. He should be leading his second team to the Super Bowl titles now, not just the first time. So I think a very strong art. And look what he's done with McNabb, Smith, Mahomes, whatever you think of those guys. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're bad quarterbacks, but he's led 3 quarterbacks to title games.
Yeah.
When he got the really great one, he did what Bill did when he had a really great one. He won. He won it all. But he proved that without the greatest of quarterbacks, he could win a lot of football games and a lot of important football games. So I think Andy Reid is in the conversation of being the greatest coach of this generation. I prefer saying that rather than the of all time. And I think if he wins the 3rd straight historic, he becomes the greatest coach of this generation while Bill watches from Nantucket and breaks it down for 17 podcasts.
Yeah. Do you think Bill's coming back this year?
I do. I still think he's going to coach the Cowboys by like October. There's a race. Who do we see first, Drake May or Bill Belichick?
Or Belichick on a sideline. I really wanted to believe that he was going to be that the Cowboys were going to take him either
yes.
middle of last year or at some point in the offseason they were going to say, all right, this is our guy, especially when they had that awful loss in the playoffs. I thought for sure that was the perfect landing spot for him, you know, with that old owner and a good team, a team that you basically just turn the key and then there you go. You're probably, you know, a playoff team right away. Just walking in there, a great linebacker, which, you know, Bill loves that. And an offense that he doesn't really have to be super hands-on with. It's already very high functioning. It's maybe not championship caliber, but that could be his thing, right? Everyone says, not everyone, I don't say this, but a lot of people say Brady walked into this great situation in Tampa Bay because he had all these wide receivers to throw to. Belichick walking into Dallas, I think, would have been much, much better situation to walk into than Brady going to Tampa Bay. Whether or not he'd win or not is one thing. I just think the situation would have been a better one for him. And they said, no. We want another year of McCarthy, and Bill, thanks anyway. And let him just walk right out the door. Didn't even give him a call. Said, this is going to be our guy. And then, as we found out, no one really ended up giving him a call. And that's why I think the dream of him to Dallas is dead. I think that was the perfect opportunity, and they just let it go.
So we've talked a lot about whether you and I care about what Bill's doing. Will you watch it kind of thing? Fans, are you going to watch Belichick? Do you think that owners and general managers will be watching Belichick's breakdowns of their teams with a almost vested interest in it?
No.
Like, you don't think Jerry Jones, if he sees on Twitter, Bill Belichick breaks down week one from the Cowboys' viewpoint, like, he's not going to watch that? Especially
He'll watch it. I don't think he's going to watch it and be like, oh, wow, I can't believe, what a great insight. I better hire this guy. Like, you know, I don't think, or that he'll say something that would dissuade him from hiring him. I just don't think that that's going to be part of it.
I think it's interesting. If, say the Cowboys
get
upset.
Guy's been coaching for 50 years. They know what he is, you know? That's why.
Yeah, but sometimes you need a reminder. Sometimes you need a freshener. You believe he's freshening up all kinds of things from eyebrows to straight on down through the rest of the body, whatever.
Whoa.
Sometimes you need a freshener. I think there's a chance people like Jerry Jones will watch those clips, and you never know when it strikes a reactionary nerve with somebody like that, a billionaire who can do whatever he wants, and no one's going to talk him out of it.
Yeah.
That's why. See you in October, Bill.
We'll see.
Fingers crossed.
Should be an interesting season no matter what. It kicks off tonight. The Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens, the Patriots, in a rebuilding year, as we heard Schefter say coming into this one. It is not. It was funny because I asked him, like, is New England a place where the players don't want to come to? And he's like, no. It's just they don't want to come here right now.
Right.
Like, that's what I meant.
It is now. We're talking about the present. We're not talking 10 years from now.
Not talking about the millionaires tags or anything like that. I'm talking about, no. Do players want to come here now? And they don't. And why would they? I mean, there's nothing really to come to here. It's a bit of a wasteland when it comes to that stuff. And the guys that you ended up getting were guys that didn't have huge markets. And anybody that did have a market either used you for leverage or flat out said no. So, you know, that's basically what this is. It's a rebuilding team. Free agents don't want to be part of rebuilds. That's just a fact. I mean, you don't want to... When you project that out there and sort of show everybody, hey, this is what our plan is this year. We plan on not winning a ton of games, but developing our young players and, you know, getting back into the draft next year and hopefully having something to show for it. And maybe next year we can get more serious about it. That is not an appealing thing. For a free agent, for anyone, really. I mean, you know, if you're a kid getting drafted out of college, you have to assume if it's high in the draft, you're not going to go to a great team. That's different from...
Right.
You know, a guy who's demanding a trade somewhere else or a free agent who can pick where they go or any of these other things.
And especially for these guys that are Brandon Ayuk.
Right.
I'm surrounded by talent. I have a good quarterback. We went to the Super Bowl. Like, you need to find the guy who's unhappy but is also in another crappy place. That's why I keep going Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson on the horizon. Elite wide receiver who, within a year... maybe 2 years, isn't going to have a quarterback. It's New York. Who knows how quickly everything blows up for them.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching change. Garrett Wilson could be an elite wide receiver that is looking for a new home, and he is the real dream of the Andy Hart plan. I don't know how realistic it is. Most of the Andy Hart plan is legitimately realistic. Garrett Wilson might be a little bit of a pipe dream.
I'd love to get Garrett Wilson. That'd be great. By the way, people on the text line, Arkin, they didn't get smoked. The Bengals didn't get smoked. Fine. All right. They didn't. It was a close game. They lost is the point I was trying to make. They lost to the Rams in the Super Bowl the 1 year they beat the Chiefs. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to all your NFL-related calls. And NBC Sports Boston did a simulation of how this season would go if Drake May started all the games versus Jacoby Brissett starting all the games. They did it through Stratomatic. Interesting results. We'll get to them right after is tells you what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
And the 2-2 is drilled high and deep into left center field. Duran back at the track, at the wall. Jaron leaps. He can't get it. It's off the wall. One run scores, and they're going to call it a homer. It's over the orange line. It's a grand slam for Jesse Winker, and the Mets lead it 4-0.
Well, that's how it started and didn't get much better as Tanner Houck gave up a grand slam to Jesse Winker. And the Mets swept the series. They beat the Red Sox last night 8-3 in New York. Red Sox now fall back to 500. They've now lost 5 in a row. They're now 5.5 games behind in the wild card hunt, tied with the Tigers and the Mariners. They'll have the night off tonight as they get ready to host the White Sox for a weekend series at Fenway. First game goes down tomorrow night, first pitch at 7:10. Nick Pivetta scheduled to take the mound for your Boston Red Sox. He'll face off against Davis Martin for Chicago. The Patriots had practice today as they continue to get ready for their season opener game against the Bengals on Sunday afternoon. Kickoff at 1 p.m. from Paul Brown Stadium. After holding in, Bengals three-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase was back on the practice field with the team yesterday. And the NFL season officially kicks off tonight as the Ravens are in Kansas City taking on the defending champions Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. The Chiefs looking to become the first team in NFL history to three-peat. Kickoff will be at 8:20 from Arrowhead tonight. Don't forget, you can listen to the game right here on WEEI. Our Westwood One coverage begins at 7:20, or download the Odyssey app and take us wherever you go. Trending brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading big bank alternative for families and businesses in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More of WEEI's afternoon show coming up.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
That was Devin McCourty with Tommy Kern and Phil Perry on their podcast. That audio was from, I think, either yesterday or the day before. And I don't 100% agree with him there. I don't think that that's what they're going to be expecting Drake May to do every time he takes a snap. Like, that implies that his expectation is going to be, you have to bail us out every single play. We're expecting you to do that. That's, if you don't, it's a failure. Like, you know, like, I don't think that's what the bar is going to be for Drake May when he gets into a game. Like, I don't think that that's what they're going to be looking at. Now, if he's in a backhanded way trying to say this offense is so bad that the only way it could ever be good is if May plays really well, okay, but that's not a reason not to play him, I don't think. You know, like, I don't think that the expectations are in line. And maybe McCourty's still, you know, got the glory days on his mind there when he's talking about it. Like, they're expecting to win games, and we need you to go out there and win games. It's not really what people are expecting of him, is it?
No one's expecting to win games.
With May or Brissett.
I mean, hell, Robert Kraft said it to, is it Karen Garigian who had the exclusive with Robert? I don't know how it's going to go this year. That's his way of saying we might not win games.
Mm-hmm.
But long term, and Mayo has referenced it many times, we're going to win games. If not this year, then next.
At some point, we're going to win some
like
games.
He's opened the door that you're going to lose a lot of games this mm-hmm. year. And I think we've reached sort of analysis paralysis with May, just overthinking it.
Probably,
like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know, he's got to get you in the perfect play. Well, he doesn't. You know why? Because he's better. Because he can do some things that Jacoby Brissett cannot.
Right.
I believe he is a bit of a playmaker and an athlete and a modern quarterback. I think they believe that he is an athlete and a playmaker and a modern quarterback. So
McCourty says he's got to be Tom Brady.
And he's never going to be Tom Brady.
No one expects him to be Tom Brady.
He's not anything like you know who had to be Tom Brady? Tom Brady. You know who doesn't have to be Tom Brady?
Anyone
Patrick
else.
Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Drake May, Josh Allen, because they play the game to their strengths.
Brock Purdy has to be Tom Brady.
There's probably some truth. Mm-hmm. Man, he's got a lot of talent, though.
That's true. He does have more. Well, Brady did
at various points.
Right,
Brady had talent, but yes.
He didn't start off that way.
Brock Purdy would be a similar comparison, but Drake May is going to play his way. He may not get everything right with his eyes, with his reads, mm-hmm. with his lack of experience. But guess what? He might run up the field for 17 yards and a first down. And that is value.
Yeah. Oh,
coach, I didn't do it pre-snap, but once they snapped, I did what I needed to do to win. Right? Like, there's a value. And I just, everything has been overthought. Even, and we'll get into it a little bit later, the Elliott Wolf exclusive interview with Andrew Callahan in the Boston Herald. He had some comments in there about playing young players, and the worst thing you can do is pull them. And, like, is it? And why is Laden Robinson starting at right guard?
Right.
What if you have to pull him? What if in week four he's really bad and you have to play City So at right guard and Nick Leverett at left guard?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ruin his career? Or does he work? And when he's better and gets some reps in, he gets back out? There's some paralysis going on in Patriot Nation.
I would agree. There was also this. NBC Sports Boston, our good friends over there, teamed up with Stratomatic. You ever play Stratomatic? You ever play those games?
No. That's the little vibrating board.
No. That's tabletop football. Stratomatic was like a card game.
Oh, no.
Where they do like simulations and stuff like that.
Sounds like a dork thing.
I mean, it kind of is. But yeah, so they do simulations for all sports. They do it for hockey, basketball, baseball, football, everything. And they did two seasons. They simulated two Patriot seasons, 2024 seasons. One with Jacoby Brissett taking all the snaps at quarterback, and the other one with Drake May taking all the snaps at quarterback to determine how the Patriots would fare with both signal callers. Now, this is an imperfect science, obviously. You don't know exactly how these things are going to go. But here is what Stratomatic spit out. With Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, the 2024 Patriots were 4-13.
Sounds about right.
Which is about where we're all expecting them to be, right? I mean,
feels high.
It's in the ballpark anyway. That's where Vegas has them, right at 4.5 wins there. So, yeah, that's where it is. Their only wins were against the Seahawks, the Titans, the Cardinals, and somehow week 16 against the Buffalo Bills. They did beat the Bills last year, so I guess that's not the craziest thing in the world. They always do, even when they're not good, have some random division games that they end up winning. Brissett's final stat line, not terrible. He finishes with 346 completions on 530 attempts. That's a 65.3% percentage there. And 3,508 yards, 20 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. And that's him playing every game.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, I don't hate those numbers. Those are pretty good numbers. Those are for him anyway. I mean, that was like Mac Jones's rookie year.
Yeah, those are fine.
If you can get that from Brissett, I think I'd be okay with that. It's not a good record, and it's certainly not anything to write home about. But I would say that's better than what people are expecting from Brissett, right? I mean, those are respectable. Like, I don't think people are expecting it to be a respectable season.
I don't know that anyone has even thought about those types of numbers because they don't want or expect him to play all season.
Right.
So I don't think anybody's like, in 17 games, he's going to have 20 touchdowns.
Yeah.
No, I think people are like, well, he might have 5 games, and these will be his numbers in 5 games, and then he'll get the hell out of there.
Yeah. All right. Drake May. According to Stratomatic, if Drake May starts all 17 games, the Patriots record, 8-9.
So Stratomatic, like everyone else, says Drake May's better.
Yes. It's not going to be enough to make the playoffs, but enough to inspire hope that the organization has its quarterback of the future and is trending in the right direction. Patriots wins were over the Bengals in week 1.
1-0.
How about that? Seahawks in week 2.
2-0. We're going to the Super Bowl, baby.
Miami in week 5. They're starting the year 3-2. That's
no chance.
Not bad. They don't win another game until week 11 against the
That seems realistic.
Against the Bears. Then they beat the Rams in week 12. The Colts in week 14, the Cardinals in week 15, and the Bills in week 18. Here are Drake May's simulated final numbers. 63% completion percentage, 3,774 yards, 22 touchdowns, and 13 interceptions, which is almost exactly what Mac Jones had. I mean, it's almost right on the nose. And those numbers are basically the same as Jacoby Brissett's. So, I guess what this sort of points to is that whether you're talking about the actual QB play or not, it's going to be kind of similar. Like, Brissett and May are going to put up similar numbers. This is what Stratomatic is saying. This is not what we're saying or any other people who are predicting this season. But if they were to play all 17 games, the actual numbers would be different. But the record would be much better. Now, what could that possibly mean? NBC Sports Boston thinks that it has to do with May and crunch time, right? Like, they have similar numbers, but when the game gets close, if it's a close game, May with the ball in his hands can lead that game-winning touchdown and be the difference that maybe Brissett couldn't, and they have the same, you know, or similar numbers, but he's better in those situations. It could be that. It could be, and I don't know how Stratomatic could possibly account for this, but it could just be that the team's more excited to play for the rookie because they think he's better, and, you know, they think that it's going to be a season where they're not going to be back in the top of the draft again next year, mm-hmm. something like that. Although I don't think that's how Stratomatic does their formula. But either way, interesting numbers.
Very interesting. I'm going to just be honest. I don't get it because I don't know how Stratomatic can take into account the buzz or the energy of a team.
I'm saying I don't think
it's supposed
they can,
to be stats,
yeah.
right? Numbers. Right. Yeah. And somehow the quarterback plays relatively the same because just to throw in, you didn't mention this, but reading the graphic on NBC Sports Boston, Jacoby Brissett ran 64 times for 314 yards and two touchdowns. Because I think some people might be like, oh, maybe May went crazy. Mm-hmm. He ran 83 times for 384 yards and four touchdowns. So
right.
a little bit more production on the ground, but not 1,000 yards or a way that would dramatically shift the four extra wins you get out of Drake May. So I don't. This would be an example for why Andy Hart thinks all these analytics are stupid.
Well, that is kind of stupid, and I'm not disagreeing with that. What is a better outcome? What would you consider to be a better outcome? This team going 4-13 or Drake May playing a lot and them going 8-9?
So when I see the numbers before me, because you know in general I believe the better outcome is have a top five pick.
Yes.
And you're closer to a top five pick at 4-13. If you're 8-9, you're probably picking, I don't know, 12th, somewhere in there. I don't even know where that would necessarily
get
you.
Maybe even higher, 15th maybe.
Okay, so
like that,
not yeah. a great pick. You may be out of the blue chip prospects in the draft. But I also would say nearly 4,000 yards passing from a rookie quarterback, that is what's going to create what we talked about yesterday, some buzz,
yes.
some attention, some, oh, they got their guy in New England. Who would I want to go play there? Whatever, conversations. 22 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, so not crazy turnovers or anything while he was putting up the yards. Rushed for four touchdowns, so he's responsible for 26 touchdowns. I like that. You're going to feel like you have your quarterback. There will be buzz around number 10 in New England, and more buzz than Mac Jones, just because I think people have more faith in this guy than they ever really did in Mac Jones because of the pure skill set.
And he's a higher pick. I mean, Mac was the fifth out of five quarterbacks picked that year. You know, this is the third out of five.
But my best case scenario,
three, yeah.
since the numbers are very similar for the quarterbacks,
mm-hmm.
my best case scenario is Mac throws for 3,700 yards, 22 touchdowns, rushes for four.
May does.
May,
right.
sorry, and goes 4-13. That's
so he has the same season.
Same
the
numbers, they're very similar to what Brissett has in this scenario, and somehow Brissett still only wins four games.
Mm-hmm.
Give me May's numbers and Brissett's record, and we call it mwah, chef's kiss perfection.
All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. You referenced the Karen Garigian column. Robert Kraft speaking on his new head coach, Gerard Mayo. We'll get to all of that with your phone calls next. This is Gerard Mayo, and it's an old quote, but why do we play it? Well, there is a glowing article in Mass Live today. Karen Garigian talked to Robert Kraft about his new head coach, Gerard Mayo. And Kraft was, I mean, you hear Kraft kind of, he gushes, you know? He's a gusher,
mm-hmm.
that Robert Kraft. And with this Gerard Mayo thing, he's not said much lately. I feel like you haven't heard all that much from Kraft here over the last couple of weeks, really, you know, in the preseason and all of that. There was that one sit-down he had where he was saying they weren't expecting to win a lot of games this year, but that's okay. He had a lot to say about Gerard Mayo. And Garigian got the one-on-one with him and said, Kraft's instincts have rarely failed him. This is in Mass Live today. Not in love and not in business. Here's Kraft. What I've learned in my businesses and my career, I go with my instinct. I try to see things that other people don't see and have the courage to live up to my convictions. I'm always thinking about what's right, what's the right thing for the long term. The most important decisions of my life are judgments I make. I go with my instincts and my nose, whether it's the women I marry or the head coaches I choose. Now, that is the first quote in here, and it obviously is a big quote. And it stuck out to me because it makes it seem like it's more than a head coach that he's hiring. Like, he's talking about this in terms of life decisions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just an employee that he has. Like, this is this is a partnership. This is a thing that we're doing here together, and this is a guy that I really believe in, and this is someone who I'm really putting all of my faith behind in a different way, I feel like, than other owners who hire head coaches. Like, even when he hired Bill Belichick or Pete Carroll, like, I don't think that there was the same kind of reverence and tone that you're getting here from Kraft talking about Jerod Mayo. And he goes on and talks about the trip to Israel and how impressed he was by Mayo sort of leading a discussion about it, and his curiousness and all that from the trip, and then all these other things, his business acumen, various other things like that. But it's a long, long, glowing piece here from Robert Kraft to Jerod Mayo that really paints it out to be less of an employee-employer relationship and more of a partnership. And I think that that's an interesting way to go into a season that everybody's considering to be a rebuild.
Well, I think it makes it clear he hired a person, not a coach.
Mm.
He didn't hire him based on his resume. Well, first of all, something that stuck, because we knew this, Robert sort of brought this up at the introductory press conference, that Jerod went to Israel with him, and it was there that he kind of realized, this is the leader of men that I want to be the next head coach. I didn't realize Jerod Mayo had yet to coach a single NFL game.
On the Israel trip.
March 19th, Mayo was hired as the Patriots coach. I believe that Israel trip was that summer.
Okay.
So Jerod had yet to be a linebackers coach in the NFL. He was coming off of the Optum business portion of his post-playing career life. And Robert had decided, if you believe him, that's my next head coach.
Yep.
That is remarkable to me that he made that decision before. And I know he knew him as a middle linebacker and a leader and a captain and okay. And, you know, everybody knew Vrabel was going to be a coach, I guess, right? There's certain guys. But to really know it, think it, and then follow through on it a few years later. So in 2023, he writes it into his contract. He's the coach in waiting with the New England Patriots. It's filed with the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
So in the course of 4 years of coaching, he made the decision before he had coached anything and then made the decision final, set it in stone, put it in ink. That's a remarkable timeline, but I do think it shows, and Robert has always said this for years. I've heard this at employee gatherings, I believe in hiring good people, expecting them to do the job, trusting them to do the job, overseeing, you know what I mean? Like, that's sort of his philosophy, and he believes he hired a good person, but it's very different. When he hired Bill Belichick, he was hiring a coach. He knew what he was as a coach. He had been around him for that 96 season. Like, there was a track record of coaching experience. Not with Jerod. It was a guy, well, really enjoyed my trip to Israel with him, so I think I want him. And there was a story in there about how they were delayed, and he organized like a group to go over the trip or something, and Robert observed the leadership and how he brought that all together and probably in some private plane hangar somewhere.
We did that at my bachelor party, too.
What's that?
It was a delayed flight, and we all talked about the strippers we saw and all the other stuff that we did there. It was
a little different.
A lot of leadership was displayed.
I feel
in
like
that,
trip to Jerusalem, your strip club story, little different.
Probably a little bit different, but that does, I mean, listen, like, you know, you're waiting there at the airport, and it's like, all right, guys, let's talk about the trip we just took. Like, that's interesting. I mean, that's an interesting way of going
about
things.
And how that, it's interesting that it sparked, that's the guy I want to run my team.
Mm-hmm.
My multi-billion dollar team.
Yeah.
Not like a simple decision. Oh, I own 6 car dealerships and that guy showed leadership. I'm gonna make him the manager of one of my car dealerships.
Uh-huh.
No. This is a one-off. There are 32 of them on the planet. You're the most notable of them for a stretch of history here.
Yeah.
And you decided, because this guy organized some little forum in a airport delay, that's the guy I want to run my team. He hasn't coached. Who cares? I'm sure he'll figure it out.
That's brought up here. Kraft told Mass Live he thought long and hard about bringing in someone with more experience after parting with Belichick, but kept coming back to Mayo. Quote, I just thought having him, Elliott, and Matt grow, they're all sort of green. They've all been here, Kraft said of his rookie brain trust. But the responsibilities, at least on Elliott and especially Jerod, are huge. I'm always thinking about what's right for the long term. Our businesses are private. I don't need to make reports to Wall Street every 90 days. I do what the right thing is strategically long term. And I think I've done that with Jerod. I'm going to do that, do what my gut tells me, and stay with it until I'm convinced that it's not right. How long do you think it would take to convince Robert Kraft that this was not the right decision? I feel like that's going to be if it even comes to that, but if it does, I feel like it's not going to be something that happens in 1 year.
Absolutely.
You know, not with the push and sort of glowing remarks and reviews you're getting here.
I think there's a better chance of Jerod Mayo deciding, I'm not built for this, than there is of Robert Kraft saying, I messed up. You're not built for this. Mm-hmm. I think Robert Kraft has to give him, I feel like, probably 3 years. Definitely
3 years.
Two, but maybe three. And I feel like if it goes really bad, it might be a Mayo decision where he just says, you know, I wasn't ready. I didn't have enough experience. This isn't, because he's a smart man.
Right.
Like, he's acknowledged to us. He knows what he doesn't know. He's going to trust experts. So I think it is possible, but no, there's no chance in my mind that Robert Kraft sours on Jerod Mayo after 1 year.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. A lot of calls waiting, and we'll get to him right now. Let's start with Paul in Rhode Island. He leads us off here on the new year. It's not the eve anymore. It is the day of the new football season. Go ahead, Paul.
That's right. Hi, guys.
That is right.
Am I calling the Andy Hart Show and the Christian Arcand Show?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Listen. The question to you is, if Jacoby wins four games before the bye week, would you pull him and give Drake May a chance?
If he wins four games before the bye week, which is what, week 11, week 12, I want to say, something around that? Thank you. If they're 4-7.
I think they're 4-9.
4-9, it's week 13? Okay, so if they're 4-9 at that point, would you still play? Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Of course I would. Yeah. Is that what he meant? Like, if they're, or did he think the bye was maybe a little sooner than
that? This is going to sound harsh.
Like, let's say they're 4-4.
The record's irrelevant to me.
Mm.
Unless it's
irrelevant to them, though.
Unless they're like 10-2.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous. You can't pull them.
Right.
But if it's a losing record, a middling record, and they have decided behind the scenes, because there were stories about Patrick Mahomes. He's on behind you, so it kind of sparked me.
Okay.
That he put on shows on the practice field. The year he was behind Alex Smith, like wowing people. If that's happening in mid-October and Jacoby Brissett happens to have a almost 500 record, like one of those Stratomatic simulations that had him with three wins in the first five. Let's say he's like 3-4.
Yeah.
I think he still could lose his job very easily because it's all about Drake May. There is no opportunity for a Geno Smith situation here. I do not think there is any shot in Hades. Of that
Brissett having like a big renaissance.
Right. So whenever Drake May sparks the intrigue and interest of Jerod Mayo and Elliot Wolf and Alex Van Pelt and the collaborative, he's going to play. And certainly 4-9 is not enough to save.
4-9, he'd probably be out of there before it gets to that. But like, yeah, if it's, you know, let's say it's 4-3 going into week 7 in Jacksonville, I don't think you're pulling him there. If he has a winning record, even if he's 500, I think if he's 500, that would be exceeding their expectations through 8 games. And if you get to like week 14 and they're 7-6 or something like that, I feel like you got to stick with them, you know, because then you're in a playoff race, right?
Mm.
Like if you're 7-6 by week 13, you're in the conversation about going to the playoffs, I think.
If you're 7-6, you're probably in the playoffs.
There's a path to the playoffs.
Doing paths on this show.
I don't want to do paths. I'm just saying if that's what their record is at that point, then that's what the conversation's going to be.
Because if I make the playoffs, I want to win games. And even Stratomatic knows that Drake May has a better chance to win games.
Oh, now you love Stratomatic, huh?
Suits my argument.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls. And there are some QB power rankings that were just released today. Many of them have Jacoby Brissett down at the bottom, but not all of them. In fact, one of them has him a lot higher than I expected. We'll get to all of that and tell you what they are next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.